The Looking Veil, with Dr. Sherry Bainbridge and Leslie Arboleda, and Leland Holgate, combining ancient energy and spiritual knowledge with scientific evidence. And away we go.
Welcome, everyone, to this month's podcast, The Looking Veil. And we are the Veil Investigators, Dr. Sherry Bainbridge, Leslie Arboleda, and Leland Holgate. And we're going to get right to what we're talking about this month, which is how we get stuck and how to get unstuck.
You know, and I think there's something to really be highlighted about making your experience whatever you need it to be. So if it's determination, if it's stress and it's sweat and it's effort, I don't think that's wrong. If it's fun and some weird little cartoon Muppet from the 80s, that's not true, you know? Do what works for you and be courageous enough to figure out what that is for you and not necessarily use somebody else's strategy because it worked for them. Because I think if, at least in my example, if I had chosen to get determined and really effort filled, that would have just made everything else feel that much heavier for me in that context.
Right. And part of what I did was allow the emotion of anger to rise. I'll be danged if I'm going to let this world put me in this position and make it so I cannot meet my purpose, that I cannot reach a point that I can actually start enjoying this supposed game that we're in. And I'm in this game, and I don't like that word game because it doesn't feel like a game to us. But I've used the motion of anger to rise. And I've done that a few times in my life to have to deal with something I really don't want to have to deal with, and I have to face and I have to do it anyway. So I get angry and I take that energy and push that forward. So share with us your knowledge on all this discussion that we're having here, Leland.
I mean, it's amazing because you two are, you're living by example, which is, I think, what I love about all three of us so much is we live in the work. You know, I'm not downing on any of these people. There's a lot of the big ones out there that people follow, Tony Robbins and all these guys, that I find not a lot of practical information and not a lot of practical application that can be had from it. Great people, great insights, great mindsets. But the thing I love the most about us three is that we allow ourselves to be in the experience. And I mean, you two just described neuroplasticity and the refocusing of power and energy to the best that you can. And it's the same way I like to find myself in those moments is, allowing myself to feel it. If I feel righteously indignant, be indignant. Damn it, you're mad. You're upset. Something has created this emotion inside of you. The last thing you want to do is repress it. If that electrochemical signal has been created, then it needs my attention. It is, like you said, a red flag for me to pay attention to. It is a marker, you know, and again, I don't want to say red flag as in, oh my God, this is something bad I need to look at, but it's like you said, it's a marker. It's something that needs to be paid attention to. It's a piece of me that's coming up. And I think that's the most beautiful expression is being able to allow yourself to experience it. Because that is a lot of what we all kind of shy away from. Even us, you know, we talk about it all the time. We don't want to deal with these things, but we know that if we don't actually allow ourselves to enter the stream and sit inside of that soup, we can't actually change the ingredients. Thereby, we're just going to experience the exact same electrochemical signals. We're going to experience the exact same hormones that are going to keep us inside of that experience instead of allowing us to transmute it and rise above so beautifully, like you two described.
Now, being in that experience, you know, or at least I did, because you got the education knowledge and so on, so forth, you can still, of course, have all these experiences that happen. But you know that it is your thinking. It's your thinking that's got you here, and it's your thinking that's going to get you out of it. Well, in our world, and I loved what you just said, Leland, about the right to feel. How much effort has there been put toward stop feeling? You're a man. Yeah, right. Don't feel. Oh, my God, don't feel that. Well, right. If feelings and emotions are our major communication to the other side, then that is our connection. That is our wired phone right to the other side, right to information that we can get to. What do you say about that, Leland?
Yeah, no, absolutely. One of the biggest travesties on this planet. And it's not just men. Of course, men, like you said, have experienced it. Don't be a pussy. Rub it down. Stop crying. All these things that they, you know, told us in the military or as I was growing up. And it's such a disservice, because then all you're doing is just jamming electrochemical signals down, stuffing them into your muscles and tissues, basically creating this chest of trauma for you to uncover later. I think that's what's so amazing, again, highlighting us three, is allowing people to open that trunk and one by one work through these things, which has kind of been my experience being a guy now. Sometimes, you know, going, it switches for you sometimes, especially for dudes like myself that have been in this. You're so used to not feeling that once you do open that trunk, I have become a blubbering little crybaby sometimes, and I allow myself to feel it because I'm like, man, I must have shoved a lot of shit down here.
Leslie, you have children growing up in this world, and I love Leslie's approach to parenting. I think that, I think she should be writing a book on this one, because you guys should hear what she has to say. How do you deal with helping your children recognize their emotions and uniquely, individually process?
I think it's, you create the space for it. You know, in my parenting, in my life, and sometimes I'm a little confronting for folks for that reason, but if you don't create the space for it, something else will fill that void. And if we're not, like Leland said, if we're punching it down somewhere, you know, physiologically, we're putting it in our hips. Like, I remember the first time I was in a yoga class in a really deep hip opener, and I just started, I mean, so much of a emotional release and an energetic trap was open, and I just started crying like a crazy person is how it felt, because my previous experience had tethered the emotional expression, and the physical expression of the emotion had to happen contextually in a very different place than a crowded yoga room with really a bunch of strangers. Until I, again, and so then it created curiosity. I decided not to make myself decide that I was crazy, but to really be curious on why did I feel crazy and how did this crazy thing come to be, right? And then I, you know, as I learned more and more about understanding the trap, the physical trap of emotions, when we don't create the space to let them come out in their time, right? In their initial time. It's kind of like trying to keep a baby who's ready to be born inside a woman's body. Like, that's just a weird thing to think about. But if you use that analogy, why would we not let our emotions birth at the time that they're ready to be born? It just makes no sense to me. And so my kids very early on understood that every emotion has a space, and sometimes it also has a consequence, an impact, and maybe you don't intend for that impact to land that way that it does, but you're not in charge. You're not in control of how it impacts another. You're in charge of what you put out and that it impacts another person. And, you know, that's kind of a running joke in our family, but when all three of my kids were little, they would look at me and be like, "Mommy, why are you breathing?" Because I would take a moment to breathe on purpose deeply and just
regather yourself.
Do the breathing with my mouth instead of say the nasty, you know, instead of weaponizing my mouth, because I had thoughts that were not really going to be kind and didn't really need to be said, but they needed to be processed. And so I would process them with breath work. And it would mean sometimes I was standing in the kitchen just breathing on purpose, you know, 10 deep breaths in or out. But my, especially my oldest, when she was, you know, maybe through, "Mommy, why are you breathing?" And I was like, because mommy needs to breathe right now. Like, that's what I need to do.
Mommy's avoiding smacking you across the room.
I'm breathing instead of saying some things that will hurt your feelings, you know, like, but that's, you know, that's how I approach it, my parenting. It's how I approach my business. It's how I approach my personal relationships. Because I think if we're not creating the space for the natural stuff, the natural energetic expression of our emotions and our thoughts, we're not the best versions of ourselves. We're not the best people to be in relationship with. Mm-hmm. And ourself, the I, as Leland calls it, that's the person we're in the most intimate and consistent relationship with for as long as we're blessed to wake up and be another day older. So it's just, it's a really important cultivation, I think, to be able to be, you know, transparency is kind of my intrinsic way of being, but understanding how to be kind in your transparency, especially with yourself, which means letting what come up come out.
Right, right.
It's sort of how I think about it.
Please like, share, and comment, as drawings will occur throughout the year.
When we're dealing with energy, Eastern and tribal philosophies, they have far more knowledge than the Western, just take a scientific type of approach. I like the Western philosophy. It can do a lot of good, but they miss some things, such as when you are releasing energy, you now have to replace that energy. Of course, you know, I have Kleenexes everywhere because I'm going to be crying too. Because unless you have that emotional connection, you're missing the boat on half the beauty of things. So don't forget, when you have those releases, to maybe an example would be breathe in positive, loving, caring energy to replace that with. If you don't replace that energy, energy has nutrition also, and it's constantly communicating, even though we may not be aware of it. And when there's open spots of energy to be filled, it becomes vulnerable to negative energy to fill up. So if we know that, let's just automatically replace it with loving, kind energy. And these experiences can be really hard. But if you guys notice in the audience that it's all about how we change our thinking and where we put that thinking, that we can choose how we design ourselves to think. And by doing this, you catch yourself in learning. You guys are entrepreneurs. You face every weakness that you have in a business that you're doing, and you're going to have to either overcome it or it undermines you. And it's one of the reasons many people don't take that step into doing business, because now they have to deal with this part of themselves that's really uncomfortable. Leslie, when you started your business, what did you might, a story that you might have in needing to adjust that you learned, surprise, kind of about yourself and had to make that adjustment?
Well, I think it's like we've talked about in previous episodes. My business is called Kaizen Living, and Kaizen is a Japanese concept of continuous improvement I learned in business school. And it really is intended more as a like business continuous improvement process. I have shifted it. I've rubbed a little Leslie on it, as I intend, you know, as I typically do. And it's really, for me, it's become more of a life strategy. And I've heard some people say, oh, it's 1% better every day. And I was like, I love that, because 99 things can still be wrong. And I can find the one thing that I can do better. And sometimes that means I'm going to let myself be sad, angry, cranky, frustrated 99% of the time. But I'm going to take responsibility for having 1% of a moment of grace, joy, calm, and those sorts of things. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, especially as a solopreneur, and I'm kind of a one-woman show in a lot of ways, it can be really easy to get down and out and justify. I've got piles of things on my desk. I've got calls I need to make. I've got emails I need to respond to. I've got, you know, whatever the thing is that's always there. Instead of having to do it, I can just look at it like, oh, I get to do it, right? Some there's another entrepreneur who didn't wake up this morning. Not to be too drab, but like, it's a real gift to wake up and have the opportunity to be frustrated or overwhelmed or challenged. And I think when I can really remember that the opportunity is mine, and even if I'm not doing it 50% of the time, just 1% better is still an improvement. And progress, you know, practice is where progress happens. I don't say practice is what makes perfect. I say practice is what makes progress. And progress is really, you know, my ultimate message I want to share with people is that we're always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity for us to be sometimes a lot better, but sometimes just a little better. And in my world, you know, Kaizen Living is better is relative, but it's also infinite.
And I love the way you were talking about, you kind of have to, sometimes you squeeze out those things to be grateful for. To me, it's not a normal thing to walk into my office with all the piles and go, oh my God, that's the normal reaction. I just want to walk away. But then the abnormal to this earth reaction would be, hold it. How many people out there would love to have these piles to even be there? The thought of having it. Leland, what about you and doing your business? Because you've come a, quite a long ways it, from going from your quadriplegic condition all the way to also doing, I'm making a difference in some way.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, in the same way, I think that's epic, in the same way that Leslie described, allowing myself to just recognize that it's not always what I expect. So I'm going to have to shift and change as I move through this progress and this life experience that we're going through, especially choosing to be entrepreneurs, allows me to like constantly shift, right? And it allowed me to really connect with my why. If I was going to tell anybody that's thinking about starting a business, it would be stop thinking about your damn bills. That's going to get done. That's going to get paid. If you only think about, I need this number of people or clients this month to make my nut and to pay my bills or whatever else, then it's always going to be task oriented. It's always going to be something based on numbers. But in allowing myself to experience, like Leslie was mentioning, it's allowed me to deeply connect with my why. Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself in this place and position? And now it also allows me to continually shift and adjust myself and recognize where I'm at, giving that observer view of you're going to experience things that you're not going to want to. It's going to be uncomfortable. But you chose to do this and to get out there and to help people. So again, go back to your why. Why are you doing this? Why would other people want to do this for themselves? And the other big one that I had to really, really change and shift for myself is the money conversation. Think about it. There's a story. There's a wired position of stuckness that we've had societally. If you grew up in a home like I did, because you probably heard money doesn't grow on trees. Only rich people can do those things. Rich people are assholes. They don't, blah, blah. All these stories that are built around money. And I think if you can handle those two things, your why and the story that is around money, you'll have a great time in entrepreneurship. You'll be able to, like Leslie said, focus on the fact that you get to do this. You don't have to do this. You're doing this to better your situation, to understand yourself, and to better your family situation, and to help other people that are out there. So that was one of the big ones I had to handle for myself, is money does grow on trees. It's readily available. It's easy to make. It comes to me in unexpected and expected ways. And in that way, in that story, that's exactly what I experience now. And that's the same thing that I try to help a lot of people recognize, is you experience what your story is.
Now, we had talked before about where you focus your mind, what your highest value is, what's going to come about. And what we're talking about when it comes to entrepreneurship is the same thing that comes to life. If you take these, the why are you here? Why? What do you want to do? What do you want to develop? How do you want to develop? You can ask these very same questions and answer them in your personal life as you are developing yourself. We're bringing this up. We're all entrepreneurs. We know what it's like to face that and to find out, hold it. I really have a weakness in this area, don't I? And I better correct that, because I can see if I don't correct it, it's going to go on. So your ego, you learn how to even more set that false ego aside. There's a healthy ego and there's the not healthy ego that you have to set aside and let go of the opinions that you've been taught to beat yourself up and to re-get yourself stuck, because your business is competition to somebody else's. So please, people, get yourself unstuck. Whatever you need to do so, reading books, seeing people, going to classes, seminars, workshops, check out what we're doing on our websites and some of the connections that we have so you can get connected to some of these other connections to help out, because we don't want you wasting your life here being stuck in something. Everybody has something to bring and something to add, or you would not be here. Time for practical application. Oh, life hits lows. challenging and exhausting at times, making it hard to rise back up. Gratefulness is your best friend. When this happens, try to start small. Find something a little out of the norm. Maybe even a little bit odd, something that you wouldn't usually choose. Here's one. How about be thankful for your toenails? Seriously. Such a small thing, but can you imagine life without them? It would be painful. Believe it or not, this is my go-to. It makes me smile every single time. The gratefulness ball starts to roll again and picks up speed, and before long, it begins to lift you up. Joy, peace, and love can begin to return. Once again, you are lighting up the world. Know your go-to. Don't let the world keep you down. Gratefulness is powerful. Here. We're here, in my opinion, and because of all the past life regressions and because of the psychic side, we are here to learn for some reason. We did choose to be here. The majority of people do choose. There are a few that do not get that choice, but very, very, very few. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I also want to remind everybody, please check out our website, thelookingveil.com. We have got 3 amazing free meditations for you. So go check that out. And thank you guys for joining us again on another wonderful episode. And we look forward to seeing you next month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Namaste, everyone.
Take care. Namaste.
Brought to you by Holistic Collaborations. Visit the website at thelookingveil.com for more information.
We are not licensed doctors or mental health professionals, and the podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not to be considered a substitute for medical or mental advice, diagnosis, or treatment.